for the gun person, the true gun person. To hold a gun is to love a gun.
First, we'll remove the magazine. Verify chamber's empty. Two pins on the back side. Push those out. We can separate.
An anonymous gun guy there showing how to take down an AR-15 assault rifle. There are hundreds and hundreds of these kinds of videos online. Just basically people showing you how to take apart and put together guns and giving you a sense of the feel of the metal, the smell, the sounds of precision components. They all comprise parts of the gun persona, a gun guy, as writer Dan Baum describes it in his book, Gun Guys. And then there is the shooting of the guns, the visceral qualities of handling a firearm, the sense of personal power it conveys to the user, and even a sense of calm and security are all elements of gun culture that go back a long way in American history. These details do not come through in the discussions of assault weapons, clip bans, discussions of new gun control laws, and the latest mass shootings. Dan Baum's book, Gun Guys, is a road trip through gun America and an exploration of his own journey to discover why he is a gun lover, even though the NRA would likely peg him on the street as a, quote, tea-drinking, biscuit-eating liberal. Dan, welcome to the show.
That's me.
That's you.
That's me.
And they outed you, even though you wore your NRA hat when you went into Cabela's and various gun stores.
I've never liked the NRA. The NRA doesn't represent me. The NRA doesn't represent most gun owners. That's one of the things I discovered doing this book.
One of the things, there's so many things to discover in this book, but I want to focus on a couple here. It's amazing how, as you took your antique weapons and tried to hang out with the other gunsters from our era today,
right,
you discovered that these AR-15 assault rifles are incredibly popular. And not only are they popular, but they represent a kind of marketing pitch that begins in Iraq and Afghanistan,
yeah,
works its way through video games, and then allows you to essentially create a kind of transformer-like weapon that is constantly changing with components and accessories. What was that like?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about this debate we've had since Sandy Hook, because the AR-15 is often presented as some kind of bizarre outlier to the gun world, that it's the gun, you know, no good American would want that, no hunter would want that. It's a bad gun as opposed to good guns. And it's the whole gun business. And that was a big surprise for me. Everywhere I went, the AR-15, you go to shooting ranges, that's all anybody's shooting. You go to gun stores, that's all they're selling practically. They are amazing rifles. Now, I don't particularly like them. I'm an old gun guy, but I can see if you like an iPhone, you would like the AR-15.
They're a gadget.
They're an incredible gadget
and a gun.
Very accurate, easy to shoot, no recoil because there's a spring in the butt, and you can accessorize them endlessly. There's a million parts that you can always be swapping the parts on and off because it's modular. It comes apart like Lego.
You talk to guys like Lego. That's
like
such
Lego.
A perfect
name. Right.
You talk to guys who got into the AR-15 thing at $700.
Right.
But by the end had spent up to what?
Like $3,000 or $4,000. The sky is the limit. And, you know, when we talk about the policy side of this, and the gun guys are always very eager for everybody to know, very, very few people are killed with these things. I mean, it's 2% of gun murders are done with AR-15s or quote-unquote assault rifles. We have these big shootings that attract a lot of attention, but they are really not a public safety threat. And that's what the gun guys, they're just going crazy because they know they use these things safely in a perfectly normal way, and they are being portrayed as lunatics because they would want these evil-looking black rifles.
And instead, they're playing with Legos, Legos that go
they're
pop,
playing,
pop.
Right,
you know, the other thing that's so interesting in
Barbie
this book—
Barbie for men.
Was that a real quote?
Yeah, that was a real quote.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of guys call it. It's Barbie for men because, you know, it's like gearheads are always buying the new thing for their stereo or for their bicycle or for their car. It's the same attraction with the AR-15 because you can change everything on it.
I love it. It wasn't the guy behind the counter who said it was Barbie for men. It was the guy standing next to you, one of the other customers.
Right, who was saying, don't do it, man. Don't buy it. It's like heroin. The first taste is cheap.
Well, it didn't affect you so much. You're not you haven't fallen in love with AR-15s, but you understand them better now.
I do understand them. This argument we're having in the United States now about the assault rifles really goes to the difference between gun people and non-gun people.
Let's talk a little bit about how Florida and its change in its carry permits, concealed carry permits.
I was wrong about that.
You were wrong about that, and it has transformed American politics.
It has.
Describe that story, if you could.
In 1987, Florida was having a terrible – the whole country was having a terrible crime wave, and Florida was the worst of the worst. It was the Miami Vice era. And most places, when they're having a crime wave, say, we need tougher gun control. And Florida went the other way. Florida said, no, no, no. We need to make it easier for good people to carry guns. And they changed the law to say, if you want to carry a gun, you may, unless the state can show a reason that you can't. It's called shall issue. It reversed the burden of proof.
Yeah.
It was enormously popular. Most states now are shall issue states. Some 7 million Americans have gotten carry permits. And so, you know, a lot of the people walking around on the street, well, not in New York because it's not allowed here, but a lot of the people walking around on the street are carrying or at least licensed to carry. I have a feeling many of them are like me, carried for a while and then realized this is uncomfortable and I don't really need to do
this
anymore.
But the impact on crime statistics is...
Well, who knows what the impact is, because crime has dropped in half since then. We liberals, we lefties, we urbanites, we all thought it was going to be a bloodbath, that every fender bender was going to turn into a gunfight. It did not happen. In fact, crime has dropped half since then. So we were wrong.
But the amazing stat is apparently people who claim under survey that they've taken their gun out and used it for defensive purposes. These are statistics that are all over the map. But even the most conservative reading of these statistics suggest that guns save more people than they kill.
And that's Harvard talking. Yes, I know.
And you're a liberal talking that Harvard stuff and shaking your head.
I know. It is amazing. And then we wonder, well, why don't we hear about that? Well, a guy who or a woman who pulls her gun out to chase away somebody in a dark parking lot or chase somebody out of their house, they're probably not reporting it to the police. And if they are, we reporters are not reporting it. So nobody really knows how often guns are used in defensive situations, but certainly more than we're hearing about.
So you got into guns because you couldn't play baseball and you could hit a target.
Right, exactly. I was a little fat kid at summer camp, and I could lie on my belly and shoot a .22 rifle, and that's really all I could do.
Does your exploration of guns today, even though your political identity maybe has shifted, does that still give you a sense of power and masculinity that it once did?
You know, and yes, but it's different than, oh, you have this power now to go kill people. And that's how non-gun people often interpret the power that gun people feel. It's exactly the opposite. What you get self-esteem from, and I think we need to understand this, is gun people get a lot of self-esteem from using these things safely without anybody getting hurt. It's not that we have the power to kill. It's that we can manage these incredibly dangerous things safely, use them effectively, and nobody gets hurt. And as I was driving around the country, gun guy after gun guy talked about the pride they take in that. So when you talk about taking their guns away, the reason they get so bent out of shape is because you're going right at the thing that gives them this sense of self and the sense of pride.
Dan Baum's the author of Gun Guys, A Road Trip. It's sort of a lefty's understanding of his own gun love, and you learn a lot about the United States. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
What do you think of gun culture in America? We want you to get an early jump on this and all our conversations on the program. You can be a part of our listener response network. Sign up for our texts. One text a day. We ask you a question featured on the next day's program so your voice becomes part of our on-air conversation. Text the word START to 69866. That's START to 69866. One question, we want to know where you'd go if you could travel in time. That show later this week. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.